Thank you, Madam Chair, Excellency Ambassador Usha, Madam Secretary General, Ms. Rebecca Greenspan, Excellencies, distinguished delegates. Let me begin by associating our intervention here with the statement delivered by Tanzania on behalf of the Group of 77 and China. We congratulate you, Madam Chair, and members of the Bureau on your election to guide the proceedings of this meeting. We acknowledge the Secretary General's detailed and informative presentation, thank you, and also pay tribute to the Secretariat for the efforts in preparing for this meeting and for putting before us the informative background documents which will guide us in our work throughout the week. The Secretariat's note on the role of trade in development-led global energy transition is particularly timely, coming as it does as we digest and evaluate the outcome of COP27. The background note makes mention of net zero pledges covering 83% of global carbon dioxide emissions having already been made, however, largely without the detail of achieving them. Yet in the lead up to COP27, the World Meteorological Organization released alarming reports on the state of climate change, the state of climate services with a focus on energy, and on the state of greenhouse gas emissions. The WMO's provisional state of the global climate in 2022, released in October this year, reported that the past 8 years are the warmest on record. Fueled by ever-rising greenhouse gas concentrations and accumulated heat, complicating issues further, the WMO Greenhouse Gas Bulletin reports that atmospheric levels of the three main greenhouse gases all reached new record highs in 2021, a situation expected to lead to an exponential rise in climate-induced disasters. In the meantime, the WMO's Global Status of Multi-Hazard Early Warning Systems report, also October 2022, notes that the number of recorded disasters has thus far increased by a factor of 5, driven in part by human-induced climate change and more extreme weather patterns. Madam Chair, the background note also informs that the value of trade in renewable energy systems and components increased fourfold between 2000 and 2021, and that the share of developing countries in such trade almost doubled during the same period. However, while demand for mineral products from developing countries required for renewable energy production continues to rise, investments in value addition in the production of components required for the generation of energy from renewable resources has largely been restricted to industrial countries. And as indicated in the Secretariat's background note, renewable energy value chains continued to be concentrated in a small number of economies. In its 2022 State of Climate Services report, the WMO also notes that during the period 2019 to 2020, most renewable energy investments were concentrated in China and Japan, followed by Western Europe and North America, and that the majority of developing countries were underrepresented when it came to accessing clean energy finance. Madam Chair, we also note with concern that international public financial flows to developing countries in support of clean energy decreased in 2019 for the second year in a row and stood at 25% lower than the 2010 to 2019 average. Yet the WMO has warned that the supply of electricity from clean energy sources must double by 2030 to limit global temperature increases and to keep alive prospects of reaching net zero by 2050. Otherwise, the risk of climate change, more extreme weather and water stress will continue to increase, raising the specter of related disasters that threaten infrastructure, including energy sector infrastructure. In our case, over the past few years, Zimbabwe has faced ever-decreasing and at times intermittent energy generation from its hydropower installations, as persistent droughts have impacted on the replenishment of water reservoirs. In order to appropriately and sustainably adapt, deliberate and more targeted efforts are required to ensure that developing countries, including African countries, also access financing for investment in renewable energy. Madam Chair, Africa is already facing the severe effects of climate change, including droughts, floods, storms, and the attendant socioeconomic and humanitarian challenges resulting therefrom, despite bearing the least responsibility for the problem. Yet the 2022 State of the Global Climate notes that only 2% of clean energy investment in the last two decades has been made in Africa, and stresses that bringing access to modern energy for all Africans calls for an investment of at least $25 billion annually, 1% of today's global energy investment levels. Chair, the transformative potential of trade is undeniable, and my delegation will therefore continue to call on UNCTAD to invest more of its energies and resources towards supporting structural transformation of the economies of developing countries, especially in Africa, to ensure that we do not remain captives of the highly volatile and less rewarding commodity trade, and may more easily integrate into global value chains and more meaningfully contribute to global trade. This leads me, Chair, to the second background note by the Secretariat on the geography of trade and supply chain reconfiguration. Indeed, while the geography of trade has fundamentally changed over the last decades, a more in-depth and regionally focused perusal has also shown lingering and worrying disparities, especially for African countries. My delegation notes that the highest intra-regional freight costs are those within Africa, reflecting the region's challenging geography and infrastructure development. This scenario, as rightly stated in the paper, has a dampening effect on trade. According to the International Chamber of Shipping in 2021, in terms of maritime trade flows, goods exported and imported from Africa account for just 7% and 5% of the global trade totals, respectively. Compare these figures to Asia's 41% and 62%, respectively. Therefore, the geography of trade has tremendously changed and improved for some, but not so much for others. Africa still contributes roughly only 3% to global trade, with more than half of the region's exports being fuel and mining and other raw materials. More needs to be done, Madam Chair, to ensure that Africa more meaningfully contributes to trade, and the starting point is a diversification through value addition and beneficiation of those products which today are largely exported in their raw form. Chairperson, our message as developing countries, as our delegations joined the deliberations in Sharm el-Sheikh in COP27, was that there's need for concrete action and that those mostly responsible for the climate crisis must listen and must prioritize climate-related finance to help prevent disasters and to assist with post-disaster recovery and reconstruction. We, like all others, warmly welcome the positive outcome of COP27. We congratulate the government of Egypt for its perseverance and patience in guiding what we know were very difficult deliberations. Like all others, we look forward to the early implementation of what has been agreed, especially the new funding mechanism, with the hope that by the time of COP28, we are indeed able to report concrete and meaningful progress. I thank you. I apologize for being long, but I do thank you.